Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachman, instructions of mercies. This is the 102nd edition of Soul Class. Soul Class being the acronym for S, 7, O, oldest, U, universal, L, laws, 7 Noahide commandments, which can be tersely described as number 1, not to blaspheme the Creator with the name of the Creator, number 2, not to commit acts of idolatry, number 3, not to commit premeditated acts of murder, number 4, not to commit acts of adultery, number 5, not to steal, number 6, not to eat the limb of an animal still alive, number 7, to raise up righteous statutes to back up those 6 commandments, and to educate the masses to engage in the study of Torah by means by which all matters which are relevant to the human intellectual cognitive process can be implemented into improving society and prepare the world for the universal redemption. Joining me live from Oroville, the Village of Light, is former co-host and hopefully to be future co-host, Mordechai Laszlo Sontag.
Hey! Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm really appreciating to be able to participate in the show. Thank you, Don. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. You know, yesterday, I want to share with everyone listening that yesterday I did about a 45-minute live video shoot with a Lubavitcher rabbi here in Kesser Crown Heights at the Sephardic Shul, which is run by world-renowned musician Yitzhak Beton, who hopefully is going to have a very hot new CD with all of the songs being of Kiddush of Holiness relating to the universal redemption. And hopefully in the next month or two, the plans are, is that this video shot will be played on something which is known as free access television. I don't know if you have it out in California, Mordechai, but here in New York we have. And hopefully that the night it will be shown for a half hour, there will be some editing as well. Hopefully it will reach into a potential of 1 million homes in Manhattan. So I'm pretty excited about that. And let's say it doesn't make it to that television show on Free Access Television. It was a learning experience. And Mordechai, let's talk to the audience about this idea of sometimes we make our preparations, don't go the way we want them. And then sometimes we don't make any real preparations and things go the way we never expect them to go in the positive. You know, the Most High runs this creation, and I'd like to ask you a comment, according to a type of physics which is not bound by what we would know as humans to be physics. Would you like to comment on that?
Yes. You know, I've been just talking with my wife about this afternoon, and many times, I would like to connect your question to the very interesting subject of choice and free will. Now, many times, and dreams, you know, what kind of dreams we have. I'm not talking about the subconscious dreams when you go down, going to sleep. But I'm talking about the dreams that, you know, let's say a child has. And the child may have dreams that he will be this, he will be that, he will be engineer, he'll be a ranger, or a cop, or whatever. But for some reason, things are not coming along the way how he plans it, or how even an adult being plans his life.
Right.
And every human being has the choice to walk down the road anyways, regardless of the higher plan for him in his life that had been laid down in front of him by Hashem, the Most High. And we have the choice to walk our own path. But on the other hand, is it going to cause the happiness which we desire to have? Or are we the slaves of our dreams? Can we be the slaves of our own dreams, of our own desires within these dreams? On the other hand, when we follow another path which is laid out for us by Hashem, by the Most High, we can be more free by following certain mitzvahs and following even, if it's possible, although it's, I don't know, for me at the moment, not possible to follow all 613. But I feel more freedom, and I found more freedom and more happiness in following and letting the things happen in a way. Well, you know, how I made a lot of bad choices when I was younger, but where I am right now, it is like making all the good choices, because now I'm following a pattern which is not laid out by me, but I had to follow the pattern which had been laid out by you know, by Hashem. So this is what I can tell you.
Well, okay, so let's talk about something that we never would have thought of in a million years, because, quite frankly, I never associated the following individual, though she is an example of overcoming the struggles of life and reaching a level of success that she probably never dreamed of, and her type of success is something that probably every person would aspire to reach in terms of her financial wealth and perhaps her own personal sense of, perhaps she has an inner peace that she overcame the issues of her youth, and that, I'm not going to discuss them. We're talking about none other than the media host, Oprah Winfrey, who last week visited a mikveh, a Jewish ritual bath, which women use to immerse themselves in when they prepare themselves for a night of relations with their husbands, in order that the coming together of men and women is done in a state of sanctity. And she visited a Brooklyn Heights congregation, B'nai Abraham congregation, because she's going to be using that film to be part of her own network show, Oprah's Next Chapter. Now, Rabbi Raskin, who was the leader of that congregation, mentioned that Oprah Winfrey told Rabbi Raskin, that she tries to be a channel to do God's will in the world. And my hope and prayers are, Mordechai, that her presentation will be respectful, and it will be one that will not only open up the minds of the children of Noah, but also for the Israelites, Jewish people, about what is it about mikvahs, so people start to demystify their preconceived notions of Jewish family life, which is, by many people, has been stigmatized, misunderstood, and has been the source of many improper jokes. And as well, Mordechai, I want to get you to chime in on this next concept, that the Most High created these two wonderful entities in our blessed creation. One is called peace, and the other is called love. And I want to pluck out a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, from a teaching from 51 years ago. And the Rebbe, this is the beautiful thing about Chassidus, the Lubavitcher Rebbe brought it down. And you might say, well, what does it have to do with the Seven Noahic Commandments, Dan? Well, I'll tell you, it has everything to do with it, because the very nature of the Seven Noahic Commandments is to fulfill the prophecy that is brought in Isaiah 45:18, that the world was not created for naught, or for to be a place of chaos, but to be a settled place. So, blessed souls, I encourage each and every one of you to go to Isaiah 45, chapter 18. So here the Rebbe comes out, Mordechai, and blessed souls listening in, quoting from his ancestor, because the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a direct ancestor of King David and King Solomon. So he quoted his ancestor, King Solomon, from chapter 3, verse 17, in Mishle, in Proverbs. What does it say there? Well, that chapter talks about the virtues of Torah. And the verse reads as following. That, let me just pull out that footnote there. That's footnote 4 here on the page. That it is written about the Torah. Her ways are the paths of pleasantness. And all of her pathways are peaceful. And Torah is light. Now that's quoted from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. And then the Rebbe went on to explain that Torah is such an entity that it illuminates to a man in the ways of pleasantness between himself and its fellow. And with that being said, when we see pathways of pleasantness between man and man, what we are witnessing, blessed souls, is the instruction and the illumination of Torah, not just penetrating the way of a man, but the way of a man in the world that he lives in. And this should then become a part of the life of the world between the man and his friend, to the point where a person can come to fulfill what is written in the Torah, and you should love your neighbor like yourself. And the Rebbe goes on to cite that when you can love your neighbor like yourself, then you can truly love Hashem, who is your God. Because when someone can love his neighbor as himself, he's actually loving what the Creator loves, because the Creator loved the person enough that they should come into the world. So Mordechai, I'd like you to comment on that big piece of Torah that I just kind of bit and chopped into pieces, but perhaps you'd like to reconstruct it, deconstruct it, or talk about anything you think is relevant to what I just talked about.
Yes, it is absolutely right. A commandment about loving a fellow human being is very important, because if we can practice tolerance towards the person which is not our family member, but and maybe not of our own tribe or not even of our own nation, but if we can practice tolerance and even love towards that person, I'm not talking about the love of a family member, but I'm talking about a love which encompasses everything which this creation had offered to us and created for us. And even that neighbor and the actions of a neighbor is created for us, maybe not as a test, but if it's a negative action that the neighbor committed towards us, but maybe as a test towards himself, or as a possibility for us to act in a proper manner. So the only way I could explain or understand this basic mitzvah, to love your neighbor, is by understanding what infinity means, what the infinite creation is, and what it has created for us, and what it means that it encompasses and surrounds us with everything. even the smallest thing is alive, because Hashem had created it in a certain matter. So even a neighbor has a certain spark. A neighbor has a certain light structure, or an energetic structure, which is directly from Hashem and from the source, which Hashem created everything. Hashem did not withdrew itself and himself from this world. He is still connected to this world after the creation. Therefore, he is still connected to that neighbor. And by connected to that neighbor, the neighbor is connected to me. So by accepting the neighbor and accepting the mitzvah of love, this neighbor, to love this neighbor, therefore, I can connect to Hashem in a higher manner, in a manner which I would have never thought about.
But Mark, another thing that, see, this is the thing as well I wanted to bring out in this instruction, is that what people take for granted, and, you know, this is something that we're all tested by, is that moment of pleasantness and peacefulness between one person and another is because there's an empowerment from some sort of instruction that emanated from Torah. Now, it might have been that pleasantness between those two people is not because they learned Torah, because both of them might be actually oblivious to teachings of Torah. They could be the other way, you know, they could be two native inhabitants in South America living, you know, going fishing on the Amazon River, yet they're at peace. Mm-hmm. So what am I trying to say is that because someone in the world is learning Torah, someone in the world is projecting the Torah with the intention that there should be peace in the world, the peace is not just in that person's mind. The peace is not just in that person's heart. That peace is being projected into the creation. You know, when I lived in upstate New York about 20 years ago almost, I remember hearing a brief news bit that was covering a matter in science that when you exhale breath, it goes three times around the earth before it goes back into the atmosphere. So that's just a conscious or subconscious or unconscious exhalation of carbon monoxide coming out of the human mouth. But what if what's emanating out of the mouth, aside from the fact that that carbon monoxide helps empowers trees, if I'm not mistaken, right? It's also emanating out the words of the Torah, which are being learned by someone who wants to bring peace into the world. And I think that this is a message we have to bring out to the world, that although people so struggle with the idea that it's called Torah, they might call it Bible, they might call it Scripture, they might call it something else, they might even call it by another religion, divine instruction with the intention of bringing peace is in fact bringing peace into the world. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's really good. It's a really good analogy. I never really thought about it this way. It's, every thought and every action has an imminent reaction within the within all spheres and all levels of creation.
Right.
So this is very good. I never thought about this breath that it travels around the world or three times. Thanks, Don. I'll use that.
Right. Now, for instance, one of the seven noahic commandments that is really upon every person in the world is the prohibition to commit premeditated murder. So, thank God, Baruch Hashem, the majority of the human race are not engaged in acts of premeditated murder. If they were, this literally, as troubled as this world would be, it would literally become a hell on earth if every person in the world was going out with the intent of murdering another person every day. And thank God, it's not happening. But in the meantime, we're all paying for peace. So, the antithesis of premeditated murder is meditating about bringing shalom, peace, ne'imut, pleasantness, into the world. And I want to share another teaching that I came across yesterday in my studies, Mordechai. I have a good friend in the Frankel Shul here in Kesser Crown Heights. Name is Sofer Toby. And he's been learning probably 40-plus years the teachings of the Ben Ish Chai, who is a chacham, a very wise man who lived in Baghdad, Babylon, known as the modern country of Iraq, from about 1834 to 1909. And the Ben Ish Chai said that there's a type of illumination that a person can be privy to from a realm called the Olam Abriya, the world of creation, otherwise known as the world of Makshav. What can a person be privy to? A person can be privy to the type of emanation that was originally emanated out to this nation of Israel by none other than the mighty Levite prophet Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. But how does one make oneself privy to those types of revelations? So the Ben Ish Chai says one must engage in three levels of love. So I'd like to talk about them for a moment, and I'd like you to chime in, give me some feedback, you know, on how you perceive what I want to share with yourself and the other blessed souls who are listening, and hopefully be listening to the archive version. Okay, the first level of love that Ben Ish Chai is talking about is that when we have whatever we do with kavana, with intention, because the word kavana, which is a Hebrew word, is rooted in the word kivun, direction, meaning how do we direct ourselves? How do we direct our consciousness? First of all, the Ben Ish Chai says we should direct our consciousness at all times with love. And after that point, there comes the faculty of our soul, just as thought is a faculty of our soul, a garment of our soul. As you know, Mordechai and I, we've been learning a teaching by the Lubavitch Rebbe about the three garments of the soul: thought, speech, and action. So then, after what our intentions are, that we want to first of all make sure our intentions are permeated with love, ahava, then there's the idea that we want to intend all of our speech with love, meaning with every word that we emanate, it should be dripping with love, regardless of the content of the speech. The third level is ahava. We have to invest love in all of our actions. You know, people say, You've heard it. I'm sure all of us have said it concerning one activity or another we've engaged in, that we love to do what we do because we love it. So the Ben Ish Chai says, yeah, you have to inject love in all your actions. And I suggest humbly, not just in these elated, higher, loftier, what we call holy moments in life, sanctified moments in life, where we're firing off cylinders, but also we have to engage and act with our actions with love, even when we're engaged in the mundanities. So Mordechai, I'd like you to comment about how you understand or would like to elaborate on this idea of the love in our intentions, the love in our speech, and the love in our actions, why we should engage in this, and how this could help us be privy to these revelations from the world of thought, the same realms in which we receive the Torah from the mighty Levite prophet Moses.
I'll try to be short. I've been reading a book called The Light Beyond, Adventures of Hasidic Thought, and I've been, while they were talking, I've been desperately trying to find the chapter that I found on love. And, it was a very interesting, although I cannot find it at the moment right now. It is about this world had been created on judgment. Everything that we have around ourselves is according to law, according to the law of creation. So when we are talking about, per se, a tzaddikim, a righteous man, a righteous person, that tzaddikim does not receive his reward because he has been done a right and justful thing, and his reward is not being given to him by love, but it is given to him by law, by the judgment, by the justice of the creation, because he had done everything according to the law. Now, according to this one rabbi that I read about, that I read from, he says, and it's very interesting, I've been always taught this way, that the world has been created by law. So when people that are unjust and unrightful, they are kept not by the law, because according to the law, they do not deserve. They don't even deserve their own life. They don't even deserve what they have at the moment. But what they deserve is love, which is kind of like the Creator's a gift to us. It is a gift where we can, with this gift, we can still go on. Even that, you know, we may commit some sort of sin, or we may not live according to the law. But because of this love, we can still go on. A righteous person, a tzaddikim, would not need this love. But as you have talked about, that these garments should be put on ourselves, and our thoughts, speech, and actions should be worked with the love, with this love, because the law is one thing, that this righteous person, the tzaddikim, can go with this love and can teach others with the law, but also it is much more digestible to a person that cannot follow the love if it is presented with love. So it is. This is what I would like to connect in. I never thought about this way before. Never thought about to present any idea with love, because I always thought the old way, you know, a law should be presented as a law should be presented. So with the dry logical pattern. So, but as you say, it is more effective, I think, if it's presented with love.
Beautiful. So I'd like to present the teaching with a lot of love, because there is a physics equation in the Torah that says following, which is written actually in Hilchot Tshuva, the laws of repentance, or literally the laws of return by the mighty Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, also known as Maimonides. And we're going to close out the show on this, Mordechai, and of course I'd like you to chime in. So the Rambam writes the following. And listen to this physics equation, which actually is a law. So it's a law which is a physics equation, which is actually quite Hasidic as well. Accordingly, throughout the entire year, a person should always see himself as equally balanced between merit and sin, and the world as equally balanced between merit and sin. If he performs one sin, he tips the balance and that of the entire world to the side of guilt and brings destruction upon himself. However, the good news is, blessed souls, if a person performs one mitzvah, an act of kindness, an act of prayer, an act of charity, he learns Torah, he helps a friend, and I added those, that's a parenthetical story I'm injecting, because the Rambam just says he performs a mitzvah. I just gave some examples of mitzvahs, ways to connect to the Most High and other human beings. That person tips his balance and that of the entire world to the side of merit and brings deliverance and salvation to himself and others. This is implied by Proverbs, a righteous man is the foundation of the world. That is to say, one who acts righteously tips the balance of the entire world to merit and save it. Now, Mordechai, what's very interesting what the Rambam says here is that first the Rambam says a person makes a change if he does something wrong, okay? He tips the balance and his balance, his personal sense of equilibrium and the entire world to the side of guilt and brings destruction upon himself. But it didn't say that he brings destruction to the world. He's destroying himself by doing what's wrong. But on the other hand, if he does what's right, he does a mitzvah, he tips his balance and that the entire world to the side of merit and brings deliverance and salvation to himself and others. So one is engaged in destructive behavior from a Torah perspective. One really truly only ultimately eradicates oneself, but doesn't necessarily mean that he will eradicate the world. But if one does something good, one can bring deliverance to himself and salvation to himself and others. And one who acts, and then he says again, one who acts righteously can tip the balance of the entire world to merit and save it. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe commented on this. This is not just referring to a Jew, but a Noahide can as well. So if a person wants to engage in destructive behavior, he should know, ultimately, he's just destroying himself. In the case of the generation of the flood, their generation was destroyed, aside from Noah and his three sons and his son's three wives and his own wife, because they were righteous. The rest of the generation were destructive, so they were destroyed, yet others lived on. Our ancestors, the Noahites. But Mordechai, let's think about this, and I'd like you to conclude on this note, your concluding thoughts. One man can save himself and the entire world, but a man can destroy himself and not destroy the whole world. What are your thoughts on this as relates to physics and spirituality or anything else you want to perceive it as?
It's very powerful. I need to learn more about this.
Okay.
It's as you said, it's physics, and you brought up the idea of a light bulb to a caveman right now. So I'm the caveman in this manner, because I have never thought about this subject, and but I can tell you one thing, Don, is God may withdraw its creative powers from that one source which had committed the self-destructive action, and by withdrawing, it is like turning off the light to one light switch. You do not turn off the light to the rest of the light switches, but when you turn on the light switch, just one light switch in the room, among so many, you light up a part of the room which may hide most of the biggest secrets in the world. So by saving oneself or doing one good deed may light up the part of the world which can give more ideas or more truth or more love to the world.
Beautiful. But I just, there is a teaching that a man is a small world,
mm-hmm.
and therefore a man being a replication of the world in the microcosm, you make a change for the positive in the microcosm, you ultimately affect macrocosmic men, that is to say, the world. Another related Hasidic teaching I saw just over the weekend on the Blessed Shabbat, that a measurement is called a world, and yet a world is a mere measurement. So we see, as great as this world is, it's just a measurement. It's just, as we say, a midah. But any measurement we take, we should be careful with our measurements. How we measure our thoughts, how we measure our speech, how we measure our actions. Because each measurement is a world unto itself. Just as we talk about the garment of thought, speech, and action in the blessed human being who is imbued and empowered with their Tzelem Elokim, their divine image. So that world, that garment of thought that we have within ourselves is a world unto itself. Our speech is a world unto itself, and our actions are unto itself. But we're here, Mordechai and blessed souls, we're here to unify them all, which in the manner of Yehudim, of unifications, to give praise of the Most High, that He gave us all these various faculties and talents to bring them all together. So Mordechai, I guess this, we'll conclude on that note. We went a little over time, but that's okay, because overtime is still within time allotted within the Blessed Blog Talk Radio Family Network. So I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much.
It was an impromptu show, but I think we conveyed some very important points. And just to remind everyone that the seven Noahide commandments, yes, are connected to in faith in the Most High. But we have to remember that faith must be balanced with knowledge, and knowledge must be balanced with faith. I want to paraphrase a teaching that was sent to me the other day by a good friend, David Dome, and I'm kind of rearranging a little bit, but I have to give credit to what credit's due from my good friend David Dome from England, a wonderful, soulful singer, that he basically wrote that, follow the path of your heart. And by the way, remember to bring your brain along for the ride. I like that. What do you think, Mordechai?
I have to unmute my phone because I don't want any noise going in there. bring your brain to the ride. I like that. That is very good. I really appreciate that.
So, Mordechai, would you like to make any concluding statements before I sign off to our blessed
audience? I think you've made the best statements that we can ever imagine. So I really appreciate being able to participate on your show.
And I hope, Mordechai, this will be beginning the reuniting of us, for not just this episode, but many future episodes. And may the Most High bless all of us, because this was definitely a pleasant and peaceful encounter with you and the other blessed souls. And
thanks.
In cyberspace, and that's because, again, if not just us, for sure other people are learning Torah, divine instruction, with the intention that not just their lives, but our lives, whether we're conscious or not, should be illuminated with the paths of peacefulness and pleasantness. So this is Danzig Zuckerman signing off, wishing everyone a havachad, one love, goral achad, one destiny, the kulano for all of us, b'darchi noam, in a pleasant way, udarkisham, in a peaceful way, but Birchas Hashem is break with the blessings of the Most High. And just remember, if you have this Tzelem Elokim, which everyone who's listening to this show has one, the divine image, you've got that Tzelem Elokim, it's no dream, because you've got a divine image to help you get off the scrimmage, to give thanks and praise to the Most High, and make this place a peaceful, pleasant habitat for the Most High and for all the children of man, the family of human beings. Take care, everyone.